Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's not such a beautiful day outside, but it certainly is a beautiful day in here as you enjoy that magnificent looking altar decoration celebrating our Thanksgiving holidays. Would you please greet your neighbors next to you, across from you, and pass the peace of God, from your neighbors next to you, across from you, in front of you, behind you. This greeting, would you please continue our worship service preparation by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. Many things I want to announce today, but I want to make it quick because we have so much to enjoy in this service of worship today. First, the most important thing I want to remember to tell you is that at the end of the service today, after the benediction, because of our special guests, and you will notice on the inside of the bulletin there's a write-up about them. They will be preparing and playing for us the postulute at the end of the service. So instead of finishing with the benediction and letting an organ play and dashing out to go home to lunch or see some coach's program on TV, please sit back down and enjoy the beautiful music that we're going to have the opportunity of hearing today. I also want to remind you that at the end of the service, there will be a decorating for the hanging of the greens next Sunday. Immediately after the service, they're going to feed lunch to those folks who will be helping with the decorating. Anybody, even if you haven't said you were going to come, you are welcome to come. I think there's always plenty of cornbread and brownies and chili. They can always stretch the chili, you know. So do please come if you're in the least bit interested in helping with the decorating. I want to also call to your attention that there will be a breakfast with Santa and that there will be a crisis shelter opening December the 1st based on the temperature. In addition, Main Streeters Christmas dinner will be Thursday, December the 2nd. It will be in the bulletin next Sunday, but you really need to consult your calendar and make reservations because you will need to call by November the 28th to make your reservation. And if you would please call Zella Williams and let her know whether you're going to be able to come or not. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. In the image of Christ, we are created.
In the Spirit of Christ, we are made together.
In the body of Christ, we are reborn.
In the love of Christ, we are reconciled.
O come, let us sing Hosanna to God.
Join with me, please, in the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. We come with gladness, loving God, drawn by our need and by our desire to praise you and give thanks. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may be full of hope. Enlarge the circle of our concern that we may see the stranger as next of kin, the hungry person as part of our family, the one who is sick as a whole individual deserving of our care. Grant us the presence of Christ that we may learn more fully to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, in whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Today's epistle reading is from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 15 through 23. Listen now to this reading from God's Word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our prayer concerns this morning are Chuck Drake, Kathleen Everett, Natalie Wilson, Dr. Stanley Baker, and also my good friend, and some of you may know of Reverend, now retired, Tom Wilkes, who had bypass surgery yesterday. And his son is a minister, Tommy Wilkes, and his wife is also retired, and they represent about four or five generations of United Methodist ministers. And we are thankful for their service and pray for God's touch, not only to him, but to all these whose names have been mentioned and those that you are mentioning even in your heart as we prepare to go to prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you this day with thankful hearts, reminiscing over the vast blessings and reminded of the old song that calls for us to count our blessings and name them one by one. And Holy Lord, as we reminisce over the many blessings that we have received, we also, in humble adoration, affirm that you are Christ the King, King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am, the one who is and who is to come, the Almighty. And Holy God, we thank you that this gospel has taken root in the hearts and the lives of men and women and boys and girls, both in this place and around the world. And from that small beginning of disciples, from that small birthing of the church, a massive inferno has been burning, ignited by the Holy Presence and covering our land. And we acknowledge, dear God, that we are not always what we should be, but we affirm that we are learning what we should become. And we thank you, dear God, that you are patient with us and that you love us and you care for us. Help us, O God, not to grow weary in our faith. Help us, O God, to continue to be encouraged. Encouraged to share the good news of the gospel of Christ with those that we come in contact. And we pray, Almighty God, for these whose names have been mentioned. We pray for their healing. We pray that you will be with them, dear God, as they recoup from surgeries, as they embrace their illnesses, and for those that we name in our hearts, those that we love so dearly, dear God, we pray that you would touch them. Help us to be a church that cares for its loved ones, that cares for those in need. We pray again for those who are away from home, and for those who have loved ones, and for their hurting hearts this day as they are separated during this season. Dear God, that you will be with them to comfort. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation and for those who willingly serve. And we pray for those in leadership, for those in leadership in our great nation and those in leadership within the church, for those who have answered the call to the ministry, and those who are contemplating that call. Help us, O God, to hear. Help us, O God, to respond. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use my talents. Use me for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? God, for all gifts we are thankful. For the gift of voice, the gift of music, and these gifts from our hands, because all of us can't sing and all of us can't play. But we can all can give to your kingdom. Bless the giver and give those who have not, those who chose not to give this day. May these gifts be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ throughout the world, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, so we ask the children to come forward.
This morning. So if you will, maybe I'll collect it over when we start to go out. Griffin's got a basket. Thank you, Griffin. Okay. Let's put our man. I have great news. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we have raised enough money. We have purchased our heifer. Woo! And also, we had enough money to... We also had enough money to where Miss Kathy was able to pick out some chicks and some other animals to go with it. To date, we have raised, you have raised, and you have raised $950. Yay! We're going to keep that momentum going. We have picked out what's called the gardener's gift that we're going to shoot for. It's $170, but it comes with everything that they will need to do a garden. So it will keep on giving. They get seedlings to plant, an animal to provide fertilizer, honeybees to pollinate, and chickens so they can eat the bugs in the garden. Isn't that awesome? I love that. So that's what we're going to shoot for next. I'm so proud of you guys and the congregation. I'm real excited that this week is Thanksgiving. And I've chosen a verse that's actually a little different from what the preacher is preaching on, but it's still Thanksgiving. It's from 2 Corinthians 9:11, and it says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." And I feel like we're all rich already because we're so fortunate to be here and know Jesus. Because we know there are people out there who don't know Jesus, right? We're already rich. But I want to bring up 10 things to remind you to be thankful for that sometimes we take for granted. And the first one is our homes. We all have homes, but you know what? There are many in this world that don't have homes. They might sleep under bridges. We need to be thankful for our food. We don't think about going hungry, but we know that there are people out there who don't have food like we do. So let's pray for them and be thankful for our food. Clothes. Do you guys ever have to worry about not having any clothes to wear? No. But there are people out there who don't have the clothes that we do. Our health. I'm thankful that we are all blessed with good health. So that's something I think we all take for granted. And then when somebody we know gets sick, it's very devastating. Our country. We should be thankful that we live in a country where we can be free to praise Jesus. Because there are places out there that we can't praise, that can't praise Jesus. But we're free in our country. Teachers, let's be thankful for our teachers. Because without them, we'd be in sad shape. We need to be thankful that we learn every day. Yes, that's right. Friends. We should always be thankful for friends. We can rely on friends. And this whole church, we're all friends. We're all connected in Christ. Our family. Above all, this is our family. Jesus is the head of our family. And we should be thankful for our members of our family because they are who teach us. They are who teach us about Jesus. Our parents. How wonderful that we all have our parents or guardians that teach us and protect us and provide for us. And the number one thing we should be thankful for is what? Is who, I should say? Jesus. That's right. No one ever loved us like Jesus. He loved us so much. What did he do for us? He died for us. No one will love us like that. So we need to be thankful for Jesus. Okay? Be thankful for all of these things this coming Thanksgiving Day. Okay, let's say a prayer, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for all of your rich blessings. Help us to share what you've given us with those who don't have what we have. We love you. Amen. I have something to give you guys. You can work.
Thank you.
may be seated. I would remind you that after the benediction this morning, if you would please remain seated as we have a prelude to be played at the end of our sermon this morning, at the end of our service. Whenever I read a passage of Scripture that speaks about the kingdom of God or the coming of the Son of Man, I know that there is going to be a reversal. There is going to be a transition of the ways that we normally view things. I'm keenly aware that my ways and God's ways are very different. And as I reflect on Scripture, this is the way that it has been from the beginning. Throughout Scripture, it's the same, and it hasn't changed today. When I was in the military, I took a class called TQM. I took several classes called TQM. Total Quality Management. It was all about metrics and learning how to evaluate things and learning how to respond in leadership positions. One thing that I took away from those classes was a new concept. A new concept that I call bottom up. It was very unusual for me, a former enlisted person who used to, in my enlisted times, walk in absolute fear of a lieutenant. Don't dare put me in the same environment with a colonel. And yet to find the commander, a lieutenant colonel, engage in the conversation of an enlisted person, talking about the conditions of the base or how the wing could be improved, what were some of their observations, and then lo and behold, to realize that those insights were taken into another level of command and the morale began to improve. Maintenance began to take on a new level of professionalism. And operations improved as well as those on the bottom were listened to by those in command, those at the top. It was a new day, a refreshing day. In the reading that we have today, Christ comes in His glory and He is not looking for Jews, Gentiles, Romans, Methodists, Baptists, Catholics. He is coming to separate the sheep from the goats. In the readings of Scripture, I have come to the understanding that it is not good to be referred to as a goat. In the Old Testament, there was what is called the scapegoat. And the priest Aaron would take the sins of the people and he would place his hands over the top of the goat, and symbolically the sins were transferred to the goat, and the goat was driven out into the wilderness, and I'm assuming became dinner for some hungry lion. If I think about it, it might not be that good even to be a sheep. For after a sheep gives up its wool, then maybe it is harvested to be placed on the dinner table or in a stew or on the altar as a sacrifice. But still, that's another insight. And the goats in the Bible are those that are not viewed as sympathetically as sheep. And we think about the final judgment. Jesus is speaking about separating sheep from goats. And it's obvious that the goats are the losers in this sort of thing. For a shepherd, separating the sheep from the goats is not a big deal. Many times both species pasture together and they can be of similar color. They are easily distinguished. Goats are thinner than sheep. They have different eating habits. Goat browse on leaves and shrubs and twigs and vines. Sheep graze on grass and clover. Goats are curious and independent. And sheep, for the most part, prefer to stay with the flock. Goats have hair. Sheep have fleece. A goat's tail stands up. A sheep's tail hangs down. Now you know. My dad told me in Germany and during World War II that he was watching a shepherd on the hillside. I heard him use this illustration many times in his sermons. And he said it amazed him as the shepherd began to move away from the sheep that he would blow a flute or play a flute or say something or call out, and he said that the sheep would fall into line and they would follow the shepherd wherever he would lead them. And there was usually a dog nearby that could deal with any one of the sheep that forgot or maybe got out of line. One of the striking things from this account is that unlike sheep and goats, those that have loved their neighbors and those who have not can ultimately only be distinguished by the Son of Man. The Son of Man who serves as the great sorter in this story. The doers and the non-doers of good deeds and the not so good are members of both groups, and they are quite surprised to learn which one they have been sorted into. When we think about our world and we think about the least of these, the other day in charge conference, there was a form that I had to fill out. And the question was, what has your church done during this past year to minister to the least of these? The least of these. Who are the least of these? What is my relationship with these people? There's an old story that was probably told by a preacher, but it illustrates the spirit of this passage. It's about a boy living in a children's home. For grace at the dinner table, the superintendent usually prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed." And after this happened several times, the boy said to him, "You always ask Jesus to come, but he never does. Will he ever come?" The superintendent said, "If we really want him to, he will." The boy thought for a minute. He says, "I want him to. So I'm going to put a chair beside me tonight so he'll have a place to sit when he comes." That evening, during supper, there was a knock on the door. And standing there was an old man, poorly clothed, cold, and hungry. The superintendent invited him to join them for supper, and he pointed to the empty chair. The man sat. The boy gladly passed him food and even shared with him his own plate. Later, the boy said, "Jesus must not have been able to come himself, so he sent this man in his place." Leonard Swede, in a sermon on this passage, compares this judgment to a take-home test. He says, with all that extra time and unlimited information and fluid flexibility, there also comes greater expectations. With a take-home final, there is never a firm answer to how much more the instructor expects. Instead of a couple of quick paragraphs, and obviously now there's a much longer, more extensive, more exhaustive presentation that is rightly required. With access to unlimited resources, who is to say how many examples are enough to prove your point? An exam given in a closed classroom for an hour or two puts all the students at the same advantage and disadvantage. It's a level playing field. A take-home final, by definition, will be taken at a different home by each student. A take-home final forces students to take their exam in their individual real worlds, whatever those worlds might be like. Jesus makes it clear that Christian life comes with a take-home final. There can be no dividing walls between what we do for a living and whom we live to serve. There is no distinction between our Monday to Friday work and our Sunday selves. In today's text, Jesus reveals that He is at home with us wherever we go and whomever we encounter. Jesus declares that divine judgment would be based upon how we respond to the Lord, the King, the Son of Man, when He is in our midst. It is not how obediently we stand in awe and worship of Christ the King that determines our accountability before the throne. Instead, Christ chooses this very moment when His power and majesty are fully revealed to refine His presence. Christ the King is not some all-powerful despot. But Christ the King is the one person we encounter in our life who is hungry, the person who is thirsty, the one who is alone, the one who is an alien, the one who is naked, the one who is sick, the one who is in prison. Christ the King is found in all of those who are walking embodiments of human frailty and human failures. Christ the King is found in each and every one of us, one way or the other. This past week, I was at a minister's meeting required by our district, and the district superintendent read this passage of Scripture, and she said that some of you may be preaching from this coming Sunday. And she talked about the strike with the NBA players. And she talked about how they're arguing over their huge salaries. When she said, what about the least of these? What about those who are selling hot dogs and popcorn or parking cars in the parking lot and those few hundred dollars that they make by selling uniforms or whatever is being taken away while these individuals argue? Our take-home final is one that we walk with all of our life. Our take-home final is this: to find Christ the King in the least ones. Not the easy ones, the least ones. Our take-home example is based on Jesus, whose own mission spoke to us when he preached from his hometown. When the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was opened, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovering of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he said, "And today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching, preaching the good news, healing every disease, healing the sick. And news spread throughout him through all Syria. People brought him all those that were sick and suffering, demon-possessed, paralyzed, and he healed them. And John the Baptist asked him, "Are you the one, the expected one?" Jesus' response was, "Go and report to John what you have seen, that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And Jesus said in so many words, "Am I fulfilling my mission or not?" We are to take home this final, wherever we may be, to see Christ more clearly in the lives of those we encounter everywhere, every day, everywhere. Christ is King. His presence infiltrates every part of our lives. Christ is no king if he reigns only for a few hours on Sunday morning. Jesus is talking about personal things, places where we encounter life, where we experience people, where we meet others as they are presented to us. We can look around at our government, our community organizations, but each one of us, a disciple of Christ, is called to follow him, to respond day by day, person by person, moment by moment, one-on-one, to experience this take-home final. Every day we are celebrating Christ's kingship by acknowledging his presence in the least ones we encounter. Jesus takes it personally. Jesus takes our take-home test personally. "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these," he said, "you did it to me." From the bottom, it's Jesus you are serving, and yourself as well. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Benediction is a responsive benediction printed in your bulletin, and I do remind you after the benediction to please be seated. We have celebrated together, now let us go serve our Lord.
We will serve.
The blessings of God go with you all.
And with